This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and do we have a program lined up for you? On today's show, we'll delve into finance with our special friend, Mr. Leibel Sternbach. And Joe McKenzie stops in today. I'm Freddie Bell, and our show starts right now. Hi again, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Thank you for being with us this weekend. And right now, on this warmer weekend, it's time to talk to Jay Hapala from WERP Minnesota. He is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement, and college grants are on the way. And I understand, Jay, that you have community challenge grants that many of our listeners can avail themselves to.
Yeah, that's right, Freddie. And whether it's 30 degrees or negative 10 degrees, I think a lot of Minnesotans still agree that it's a great place to live, despite the cold weather. And we do have these grants available. I'll tell your listeners all about them. You know, a livable community like what we have in Minnesota is supposed to be someplace that's safe and secure, offers choices for housing and transportation, and it's a place that's equitable for all people, allows everyone to participate in civic and social life. But we know that these great places take a long time to build, and it takes a lot of work to sustain them. And meanwhile, not everything is so rosy. You know, our population is really changing with people living longer. That presents a lot of opportunities, also some challenges. And the pandemic is changing everything. And we know here in Minnesota and elsewhere, we have problems with equitable treatment and disparities for different groups, racial groups and age groups, and there's other factors too. So Minnesota is a nice place. We have a lot of room for improvement too, and that's why we're announcing a 6-year of community challenge grants, and this is funds for projects that demonstrate change and help build the momentum that improves livability in our neighborhoods for all people.
So Jay, who's eligible to receive the grants?
Yeah, these are for government agencies, so cities or counties, and also the nonprofit organizations that folks volunteer with and collaborate with the cities to make these type of improvements, whether it's for the parks or the transportation system, housing projects, or to get residents involved in these type of projects. So there's a very broad category of the type of projects that people can apply for, but it does take that agency or that organization to be the one applying for the funds. But I know there's a lot of volunteers out there who are connected with these organizations, and you all can spread the word and get your local leaders to get involved and take advantage of these opportunities.
Do you have a quick example of some of the grants or projects that have been benefited by these grants?
For sure. So in Minnesota, over the years, we've had 13 different projects, many of them here in the Twin Cities. A few examples, just last year in Brooklyn Park, they decided that, what they'd like to have was essentially movable sidewalks. So if there was a concert in the park or maybe, a festival somewhere in Brooklyn Park, they could put these movable sidewalks down so folks could have an easier time walking across the uneven ground and more people could participate in them. And then over in St. Anthony, they got some funds and they got a citizens group together to make improvements to sidewalks and crosswalks so people could be safe and outdoors and getting around their neighborhood more safely. So those are just a couple examples.
Well, we're just about out of time. Jay Hapala, he's with us from WERP Minnesota, and we really appreciate the camaraderie that we've developed over the years. How can we apply for these grants?
Yep. So applications are open now at aarp.org/community challenge. And those applications are due March 16th.
All right. That's Jay Hapala. Jay, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And I neglected to say it at the beginning. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Let's make it a good one.
We will. And New Beginnings continues right now.
People today, they could spend half their lives over 50. That's a lot of living. So it helps to have a wise friend and fierce defender in your corner. A friend like AARP. So your health lives longer.
This is just slow-mo karate.
Just slow-mo karate.
Your money lives longer.
Hey, I just bought that.
I just sold that.
And your happiness lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Join today.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151. 888-711-1151 or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again. And as you're listening to New Beginnings, you're likely having a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage. From Seoul to Seattle and even to the Twin Cities area, the soaring cost of coffee beans is trickling into the cups of consumers like you. Some of the world's biggest roasters and sellers of coffee are raising menu prices, having flagged that customers would be paying more as beans began to surge last year. Higher wages and other costs have also added to the rising charge for a daily cup, which is in turn increasing the inflationary pressures coursing through the global economy. Futures for Arabica coffee jumped 76% last year, hitting decades high after droughts and once-in-a-generation frost damaged crops in Brazil, the world's top producer. The next 12 to 18 months will be tough for the consumer, and it is expected that prices will begin to rally later on this year. And even as the prices continue to go up, coffee experts don't expect that consumption will go down. A fractured supply chain where roasters are having to pay large prices for shipping containers has forced some coffee traders to revert to chartering break bulk vessels. Margins have been squeezed, but also various market participants were behind the curve and waiting for a dip in the market that never came. I'm seeing where Starbucks is planning to continue raising menu prices again this year after doing so in October and in January. Their CEO, Kevin Johnson, told investors on an earnings call Tuesday that a price hike is inevitable. That follows South Korea's Tom and Tom's, which also says it would be increasing the retail cost of its coffee, of its cappuccinos, lattes, and Americanos by 25%, citing the higher price of coffee beans.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello, everybody. We're on the streets of downtown L.A. and in front of the Walt Disney Center. And we just ran into David Benick Photography. David Benick is a photographer of fine art images and exclusively analog. I see that you're using an old type of camera where you're under the hood, literally. What type of camera is this?
This is an 8x10 film camera. It's from 1960, and it uses 8x10 sheet film, color, black and white, whatever. You have the ability to change lenses on it. You can shoot architecturally, you can shoot landscape, you can shoot product, you can shoot pretty much anything. This is the way it used to be years ago.
You can't go to Walgreens and develop this or to CVS drug pharmacy. How do you develop it, or do you do it yourself?
I do it myself. It's all processed in my own lab, and that way I can control how we develop it and the kind of effects I get on the film, which is probably half of the battle is not just shooting it, but knowing how to process the film and which developers to use and temperatures and things like that. It's a science. It's not like shooting digital today.
Why did you decide to go back to this type of photography?
Well, it's kind of the same reason people go back to analog music. There's more of a scale of gray in it. You have a little bit more of a fine art quality than you do digital. And not everybody owns one of these.
Where did you get yours?
Believe it or not, I've had this since it was brand new. I've had it for over 50 years.
And you bought it brand new. I'm sure you didn't get it online.
Oh, no. There was no online back then. No eBay. No trading overseas, whatever. Everything was just like it is now, analog for me.
So you're shooting the Walt Disney Concert Hall photography today. Where will your work show up?
My work will show up online, www.davidbinnick.photography.
So you've been shooting. You said you bought this camera 50 years ago. You bought it new. So you can say something to the younger photographers today who are just getting into the field. What would be your advice?
Stay with it. Photography is an art form. Even though there's digital today, it still takes a level of art to create with digital. You have to know basically what that sensor will do inside your camera and how to use that sensor. And it's like shooting film. You have to know your developers and the film and everything else. But, I mean, it's still an art form and it's still a science.
So photography must be all you do.
Photography is all I do and all I love.
Everybody, David Binnick, David Binnick Photography, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
A lot of people, and rightfully so, are talking and thinking about New Year's resolutions, and here's one that you can possibly keep. Stop dieting and start savoring your food instead. There's a lot of evidence right now to suggest that diets don't work. I think a lot of us know that. Research shows that food restrictions just make you want to eat more. And over the long term, dieting can backfire, triggering your body's survival defenses, slowing your metabolism, and making it even harder to lose weight in the future. So what's the alternative to counting calories or banning your favorite foods? Many weight researchers are encouraging a new approach to healthy eating based on brain science. A variety of techniques that encourage mindful awareness of how we eat can be used to quell cravings and reshape our eating habits. The paradigms around willpower just don't work according to a lot of researchers we've talked to. You have to start by knowing how your mind works. Tracy Mann, who heads the Health and Eating Laboratory at the University of Minnesota, is noting that beyond the disappointment of not keeping weight off, dieting also impacts our bodies in a number of negative ways. Restricting eating can impact memory and executive function, and it can lead to obsessive food thoughts and trigger a surge in cortisol, which is a stress hormone. A diet is an unpleasant and short-lived way to lose weight. That, according to Mann, she's the author of Secrets from the Eating Lab, The Science of Weight Loss, The Myth of Willpower, and Why You Should Never Diet Again. She says you might take it off in the short term, but it comes back. It happens no matter who you are. It happens to people with great willpower and to people with crappy willpower. There's an app out there called the Eat Right Now that uses mindfulness exercises to help people change their eating habits. One Brown University study of 104 overweight women found that mindfulness training reduced cravings-related eating by 40%. It has been noted that eating behaviors such as absent-mindedly snacking on potato chips are often the result of habit loops that get reinforced over time. Habit loops can be formed from both good and bad experiences. Ice cream, for example, is something we might eat during celebrations. The brain learns to associate eating ice cream with feeling good. Although there's nothing wrong with ice cream, it can become a problem when we start eating it unthinkingly after emotional triggers, such as when we feel stressed or angry. Now our brains have learned that ice cream also makes us feel good in times of stress, reinforcing the habit loop. And by understanding our own habit loops and triggers behind them, the doctors say that you can help break the hold that you have by updating your brain with new information and giving you more hope that you can stick to that New Year's resolution that you've already perhaps have broken. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining us this morning is an individual who serves the people of the district of District 45A in the Minnesota House of Representatives, and that includes communities of Crystal, New Hope, and Plymouth. Joining us is Representative Cedric Frazier. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
You're serving also as the Vice Chair of the House Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform, Finance, and Policy Committee. There's a lot of work, especially in that committee, going on right now.
That is correct, Mr. Bell.
Let's talk about $100 million public safety plan, which includes $40 million in grants for violence prevention, specifically more funding for community nonprofits that attack the root of the problem, that strive to prevent crime from happening in the first place. Talk about the importance of that particular bill.
Well, for the importance of that bill, what we call is the Public Safety Innovation Package. And what we're trying to do with this package is provide overall tools, innovative tools for communities and law enforcement to make sure that we can attack crime, as you mentioned, at the root cause level. And that's why that big $40 million is there for community crime convention programs. And these are programs that are like our nonprofits in our churches, our community centers, our schools before and after school programs, summer jobs. I mean, these are programs that when I was growing up on the south side of Chicago, I had access to. And there's no doubt in my mind that without those programs, we wouldn't be here with me having this conversation with you today if I didn't have access to those type of resources. Now, what we know is that COVID-19 has been disruptive to all of our lives and also to our institutions and many of the institutions that provide those services that our youth had access to and our community members had access to. So the idea is to provide an infusion of resources, money, for those type of organizations, create more of them, with the idea we're going to have an addressment of the root cause issues that are causing crime in our communities and causing crime to go up. Because for me, I'd rather address issues prior to them actually happening. Mm-hmm. I want to see that kid. I want to see those community members have access to resources so there's no way they get involved in crimes in the first place. And I think what we've done, historically what we've done is we took a focus on, you know, law enforcement or getting tough on crime. What we do is we turn to one avenue of redress. And typically that avenue of redress was our law enforcement or our police officers, putting more of them out in the community. But what we've heard from law enforcement individuals is that, hey, we need other tools to help us do our job. We need other tools to attack issues to make sure that they don't happen. And those tools are community crime prevention programs. We've seen these things work in other cities around the country. When this uptick in crime started to happen, other cities started to focus on these things. Cities like in Austin, Texas, and other cities around the country, cities like Chicago. And we've seen the data is telling us that when these programs are put in place and they're funded, they're adequately funded and they're sustained, they contribute to crime rates going down and they contribute to prevention of crime before it even happens.
We're talking with Representative Cedric Frazier. He represents the communities of New Hope and others around in that area. So you talked about getting in front of crime and making sure that things happen or legislation is in place to prevent things like this from happening. But we've had three students who've lost their lives in the past several days. You mentioned last week the Democrats in the Minnesota House led the effort to scrutinize the dangers of no-knock warrants last year. You made meaningful progress by passing into law some of the first ever restrictions on this practice. Talk about the importance of no-knock warrants. Are we behind the curve in your statements you just made about getting out in front and being preventative and helping students so that we can live longer lives?
But I'll tell you, just in terms of no-knock warrants, I do think we're behind the curve. The initial bill that Representative Hollins carried last session, it had provisions in there that would have not allowed for a no-knock warrant to be issued for the particular search that the individuals were doing in the case of the warrant that they were executing when Amir Locke was killed. I'm very disappointed, saddened by that. We could have prevented that death from happening. So we're absolutely going to be taking another look at the no-knock warrants. And the idea is that we want to put parameters in place and put restrictions in place that we don't have situations like Amir Locke happening anymore, or like what happened with Breonna Taylor. I mean, those are so much situations. We want to make sure those situations don't happen. I think it's fine to have tools to figure out ways to solve crimes. And this is finding tools to figure out ways to solve crimes after they happen. I think it's fine to have tools, but we need to make sure that we have tools that don't put our communities' lives at risk, as well as putting our law enforcement lives at risk. And so we're going to take a look at that.
Everybody, Representative Frazier with us this morning. And finally, I just wanted to mention that just last week you put forward a proposal for frontline worker bonus pay and the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund heard in Workforce and Business Development Committee. Tell us about that and how important is that to the people that passed. How will it impact those people who are directly impacted?
Well, the frontline workers' pay, it's a bill that I've been... So I initially started working on this a year ago when I first entered the session, and it was essentially to replenish the vacation days and the sick time days that individuals lost during the pandemic, when their corporations did not provide those resources for them.
Mm-hmm.
We moved forward and we ended up negotiating a $250 million package that we were supposed to get out to frontline workers over the summers prior to Labor Day. We're talking about folks that work in meat processing plants. We're talking about child care providers. We're talking about janitors. We're talking about the individuals that without them doing their jobs day in and day out, when we were on a stay-at-home order, Minnesota would not have been able to run. If those child care providers weren't able to watch the kids of the doctors and the nurses, we would not have been able to operate and function properly. And so because of those workers, we've got a $7.7 billion surplus, and we're going to take that money and we're going to give it back to those workers to honor them. So if this bill passes, each one of those workers that qualify will get up to $1,500 check. And it's a small token of appreciation, but it is something that's well overdue for those workers that put their lives on the line day in and day out to make sure Minnesotans can keep moving forward.
Representative Frazier, last question for you this morning. And I'm just curious. I remember the excitement that you had when you sat in our studios when you announced that you were running to be representative. Have you become disillusioned by what you've seen unfold in our communities and around the country now that you've been a representative and you're looking with a different set of eyes?
I don't know if I would say I'm disillusioned. I would say I still have that that excitement that I had on that day, and I appreciate you all allowing me to come in and state it and make that statement on that day. I still have that same excitement. Every day I have the opportunity as a state legislator, as a policymaker, to go in and do something good for Minnesotans. I have an opportunity to go in and do something good for people that look like me, that come from communities like I came from when I was growing up on the south side of Chicago. That excitement is still there.
Mm-hmm.
The urgency, the sense of urgency in which we get things done, I wish it was more sensitive. That was more of a sense of urgency to get things done quicker. But the excitement and the hope and the faith that I can and can have an impact in the work that I'm doing as a legislator, that is still there. And I'm going to keep fighting and keep pushing every day because I think that's what Minnesotans want and that's what people deserve.
Thank you, Representative Frazier. I can't thank you enough for being with us, and I hope this won't be the last time. Let's do this again.
All right.
All right, we'll do it. Representative Cedric Frazier with us, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Vault at-home saliva test kits have an expiration date printed on the side of the collection tube. If you have a test kit at home, use it before it expires and use that rather than going to a testing site in person. After you use your at-home saliva test, you can order another. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He is a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. Hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And this topic is near and dear to my heart. So, Libel, let's pick up on that discussion where we started last week as we talk about downsizing in retirement. And there are a lot of reasons, as you told us earlier, Libel, to downsize, especially right now.
Yeah. There's you want to be able to tap into that equity in your home and use it to fund your retirement. But in addition to that, you want to look at, you know, how can you use that event to fuel and further your lifestyle goal of what retirement looks like for you.
Everyone, we're talking with Libel, and we have a question, Libel, from Debbie, and she's asking, she says, I'm thinking of selling my house and getting a condo. She wants to know what the pros are, what the cons are, and she's wondering, Libel, if you recommend it, or is it better just to get a smaller house? What do you say?
So I think that the answer is really up to you, but I think that there are, you know, as we've been talking about this, there's financial and there's non-financial considerations. So we've talked about some of the non-financial considerations up until now, mm-hmm. which I think you do some soul searching, go to, you know, visit some friends who are living in condos, living in houses on their own, especially, you know, go across the age demographics, right? Let's say you're in your 60s or your 70s right now and you're thinking about that. Go visit friends or find people who are in their 80s and 90s and see what they think about it, because chances are this is going to be the last move you make in your lifetime and you don't want to have to move again. So go find out, go get some information for yourself of what this will really look like. Once you know the non-financial side, right, the heart side of things, we got to talk about the finances, right? So let's get some down and dirty onto some of the finances that you got to consider. Sound good?
Yes, it does. So what would be the first one?
So the first thing that you got to look at is condo fees, right? Or homeowner association fees. Unless you're going to be living in a house on your own that's not part of a community, you want to know what are the fees associated. And even if you're owning a home that's not part of an association, you want to look at what the fees that people experience are. So with homeowner associations, and let's talk specifically about a condo, because a lot of people look at a condo and they go, well, you know, they maintain the building, they maintain the landscaping, they have all these amenities. It's a great deal. If you've ever looked at a timeshare, or if you've been in a timeshare and regretted it, you know exactly what condos can do to you.
I'm raising my hand.
By owning that condo, you are kind of writing a blank check to whoever is managing the condo. They get to, at any time, assess your condo with fees. These fees can be, I mean, theoretically, they're voted on, right? But the fact is that nobody wants to be on the board of a condo association or the homeowners association. Very few people do. And once they're on there, it's very hard to remove them. So what ends up happening is that you get this little mafia on the board and they just pass whatever they want. So like my mother-in-law lives in this little complex. It's got three buildings, all built by the same developer. The first building where the developer lived in
was built amazing. Right? That's where my mother-in-law lives in. Very sound structure, beautiful, nice, but it's not ostentatious. It's right in the middle. It's a nice building. The other two buildings he built afterwards. And the building that he built last, as his company was going bankrupt, has been under construction as long as I've been going down to that condo. Oh, there are so many structural problems with that building. And the board who is in that building is they've had members who had gone to jail for embezzlement. And somehow the board has decided that they want to redo their lobby, and they've redone it with $1 million worth of marble. And they have two full-time employees who are in the lobby at all times. I mean, literally you walk into this building and it's like the Waldorf. And it wasn't that way 5 years ago, wasn't that way 10 years ago. But at some point the board decided that they wanted to live in a building that looked like $1 million, and they assessed every condo with it. And I heard rumors that the renovation cost something like $10 million. And there's only like 100 and something units in that building. So they assessed everybody. It was like $5,000 to $10,000 a month to finance this renovation. And everyone, you know, you don't really have a say. Your only say is, well, you can try to sell it now, but who's going to buy it when it costs, you know, an extra $50,000 a year in condo fees?
How do you suss that out? How do you determine what's going to happen down the road? I mean, the Waldorf Astoria, I mean, it's a nice place, but in retirement, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, so some of it is hard to figure out, but here are some tips that other retirees have said to look for. So, and this is coming from one of the Facebook groups I'm on. Somebody, you know, posted this question, and these are the suggestions that came out. So one of them, ask if there's any pending lawsuits against the developer of the property. Because if the person who's managing or built the property, so if the person who built the property is getting sued, that's an indication that there might be something wrong with the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if the property management company is getting sued, that's an indication that you might have an assessment coming down the road. So you want to take a look at those. Another thing to ask is, are there any future development plans, right? Mm-hmm. Is there plans in the works to upgrade things? And if there are, right, you might want to find out what kind of numbers they're talking about and thinking about, because, you know, that's something that might be added to your bottom line. Another one, and this one I thought was a really great suggestion, if they will do it for you. Now, most condos are technically is public and they should provide it, okay, but they're kind of close-knit groups. Ask them for the last minutes of the minutes of their last board meeting, because that will give you an idea of what they're talking about and who the troublemakers are and kind of what the tone of the building is, right? Ask for that information, see what kind of response you get, and then look at the actual details, because that'll give you, you know, some kind of idea. And then the one that I love the best is just start knocking on doors and asking people, do you like living here? What do you think about it? You can also... a lot of people rent their apartments on Airbnb, stay there for a little bit, right? Come different times of the year and see who's there, mm-hmm, and talk to the people who are there, talk to the staff, ask them, you know, what do they think is wrong? How do they like the fees? You know, do they think the fees are going up? Are they thinking about moving? This will pull out and tease out that information that you need to know to be able to make a decision. Because remember, when we are making financial decisions in retirement, we're not just making a decision about today and tomorrow. Every decision that we make has an impact for the rest of our life and potentially our children and grandchildren. Everything that we do needs to be thought out. During our working years, we have the safety net that is kind of provided to us in the form of we can always go back to work. Any mistake that we make is rarely fatal, because we can earn more money. As we get older, our ability to go back into the workforce, our ability to recover from those mistakes becomes less and less. So those are some tips and suggestions that I have for, you know, questions to think about, at least from the financial side.
So as you take in the financial side and you're looking at the non-financial side, it sounds like there's some introspection that needs to go on as you're making this type of, and I see it as a really big decision, Libel.
Yeah, this is one of those big decisions in life, right? I think that where you retire to is probably the biggest decision and will have the biggest impact on your long-term happiness, both because of the financial and non-financial reasons. And here, you know, when you're thinking about this decision, right, you got to think about what you want retirement to look like. What will it feel like, right? How will you spend your days? Does this apartment, does this condo, does this house, does that further those goals or not? Will it give me access to the amenities and the services that I need access to, right? So take me, right? I want to live by the beach, right? Being by the beach is important to me, right? I also want to be able to teach for the rest of my life, right? That's something important. So that means I need to live somewhere by a beach that's also near a public library or a college, somewhere where I can teach, right? So that limits my options. So think about what are the things that will make retirement feel like retirement for you. Then ask yourself the question, what is my potential downside in making this decision? Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the most powerful questions. It's something that I ask of every decision I make, right? If this goes south, what will happen? What are my bottom line, right? What is the downside for making this decision? And then ask yourself the flip side of that question. What is the cost for not making this decision? If I stay in my home as it is right now, what will that cost me? What will that mean, right? If you're living in a house that the same house that you raise your kids in, chances are it's got stairs. Chances are it is not friendly for somebody who has bum knees, right? At some point, you aren't going to want to climb those stairs. Can you live on just the first floor? Is it handicap accessible? Is it easy and friendly for you to get around it, right? Those are important questions to have. And then you got to ask yourself the question, right, for every decision you make, right? Is the risk reward worth it, right? Whether it's choosing to downsize, whether it's this condo versus another condo, this house versus that house. What is the risk? What is the potential reward, financial, non-financial? And is it worth it? And then really the ultimate question you got to ask, does this decision endanger my financial freedom, right? If I say yes to this, will it hurt my ability to stay retired for the long run?
Wow. Libel, do you talk about this in your book, Living with Financial Anxiety?
Absolutely. In my book, I give the exact steps to take for how to answer these questions and how to incorporate it in your everyday life.
It seems like this is so, the way you outline it, it sounds so practical, but it's so practical. I can see where a lot of people miss these, what you've outlined as fundamental steps in making some life-changing decisions with regard just simply to where I live and the resultant impact that it could have not only on my lifestyle, but on my financial security.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Making good financial decisions is about making good life decisions. The two are the same and they need to be habits.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional. It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, www.freddiebell.com or 888-639-9738. Or email is freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me now on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to reach him directly, you can do it on the POTS line, the plain old telephone system, at 763-438-1621, or at his website, rippleconnects.com. That's rippleconnects.com, or on Twitter, at Joe McKenzie. Today, we want to talk about striving for the small wins during your search. What is classified, Joe McKenzie, as a small win?
Well, some of the small wins are getting an in-person meeting or a virtual meeting with someone who can bring new clarity or insights or resources to your job search. That I see as a win, a small win. Someone making an introduction to another connection that may bring that added value to your search, I see that as a win. You know, learning something about an industry or an organization that you didn't have before, those are small wins. And the reason I bring this topic up, Freddie, most job searches go on longer than anybody would like to have them go on, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We're human beings. We ride the roller coaster of our emotions. And for us to get those small wins each week will allow us to kind of level some of that off. And those small wins lead to big victories. And we have to make sure that we're striving for small wins because it comes down to a numbers game. The more small wins you have over time will allow you to have better opportunities to interview and potentially make a move. So I'm helping the person who's dealing with rejection, dealing with people that haven't returned their call, dealing with finishing second and not knowing why, wondering who am I going to talk to now. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's look for those little wins. Let's give job seekers permission to classify these as small wins so they can move their job search forward. Some of those examples are great examples of wins in your job search, but not everybody may think that.
We're talking with Joe McKenzie about striving for the small wins during your search. Let's get even more granular. What does a small win look like, Joe McKenzie, in today's job search market?
Well, if we're not talking to people, if all we're going to do is apply and get emails back and forth, talking to another human being within an organization or someone outside that organization that can refer us into that organization, I would classify that as a win because so many job searches are so dehumanized where we apply online, we don't hear, we get an email, we never hear someone's voice. So the ability to draw in conversations, voices, feedback, introductions to others, I think everybody that hears my voice today, if you can strive and you can get those meetings and you can get those conversations, either virtual, in person, or on the phone, I think you have to look at that as a win. If you only look at it as a win, as someone's going to call you for an interview, in a long, drawn-out job search, you're not going to get called in that many times on a weekly basis to keep that momentum. So small wins, conversations, human beings, talking to them, introductions to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has unique network nodes, right? And so when we talk to one person, I think the average person probably knows 250 people. So that one conversation may gain some advantage with some of the people that they know. That is a small win that should never be overlooked.
So as,
obviously learning something about the industries that are dealing with the global pandemic or supply chain, those critical insights, those are all top small wins in my book.
That's really interesting. And I think people undervalue how really important learning about the industry or the organization that you're targeting.
Yes, they do. When you learn something about an organization or an industry, some of the headwinds or external forces that are bearing down on them, that win may not seem like a win until you're starting to interview with those organizations. And you can get out in front of that and better prepare for interviews because you know what they're up against. You can curate some of your most relevant examples of what you've done to overcome some of those same situations that they're running up against. So that small win on the front end, gaining that piece of information about an industry that's dealing with supply chain, labor shortage, funding shortages, if you can learn that, and then transfer that over from what you've done in the past and bring that to the interview table, that's a win. That is a win. So never underestimate a piece of information that you could use at a later date. And that is a small win in my book.
There are a lot of people listening to you this morning, Joe McKenzie, and they're saying, okay, small wins. But what is the real value of a small win? I mean, I've got one here, there's one there. Is there a cumulative effect when you have small wins?
I think so. And it also, you know, another overlooked area is that those small wins keep your energy up, keep you staying on point with your job search. If you go weeks without a win, you may not be as sharp as you want. Your energy may sap, your motivation may sap. So getting those small wins, yes, they're granular in nature. They add to themselves, but also it keeps you moving forward. You don't have a job search that's stalled if you're continually striving for small wins.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about striving for small wins. And so I think people often overlook that. They may be getting small wins, but they're walking right by that and not getting the proper motivation and the encouragement that they normally would.
That's correct. And if you overlook those small wins, It's not going to be welcomed. You're going to think that getting that interview is the only win that counts, but that's not true. It's important to stack up those small wins that lead to something bigger.
I used to hear a news director talk about it's a series of edges is what he called them. He says if you're doing this that nobody else is doing, if you're doing X, Y, or Z, and nobody else is doing that, you have a series of edges. I'm relating the unrelated. Joe McKenzie, it seems as if edges and small wins are opposite sides of the same coin.
I believe so. And that's another way of thinking about it. And that, you know, when you talk about edges, it's because you want to gain a victory, gain an account, gain an upper hand. And that's the same here with small wins. You can get the upper hand. You can gain an advantage through small wins. But if you overlook them and you don't even recognize them, and all you're hoping for is someone to call you in for a job interview, you may not maintain that contender mindset or motivation or momentum going forward.
That's really interesting. Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. And again, you can find him online at Joe McKenzie on Twitter, 763-438-1621, and rippleconnects.com. Let's recap the value of small wins and things we should think about this weekend as we go through and we try to relook at our career search or our career pattern and see what really is actually in front of us that we may have just overlooked.
Well, know what a small win is, and I'm giving you permission today to classify those small wins as an advancement in your job search. That is first and foremost. Recognize and welcome them, and then build upon them and get those early wins early and often, because that's going to set up your job search. You're going to start to recognize the value of a small win. That is critical, especially early on in a job search. When you learn one new insight, you're introduced to one more person, you have one in-person meeting, that momentum sets in. And that's a job search. It's not just someone calling out of the blue. It's work. But if done right, those small wins lead to multiple opportunities that give you the opportunity to make the best career decision for yourself at that point in time.
That's Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects, sir.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And right now it's time for this week's Words to the Wise. And the word to the wise this week is, you can do it. Our word to the wise, you can do it. You can find more about Words to the Wise online at FreddieBell.com, Amazon.com, and BarnesandNoble.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.